This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump says he is directing the Commerce Department to begin work on what he calls a new and highly accurate census. This one would exclude those in the country illegally. The president's new tariffs kicked in at midnight, says ABC's Rachel Scott at the White House.
After months of pauses and extensions, overnight, President Trump's punishing new tariffs finally snapping into effect. More than 90 countries now facing tariffs ranging from 15% to as high as 41%. While almost all imported goods remain subject to a 10% tariff. Those tariffs will be paid by companies, but economists warn the costs may be passed on to consumers.
The Kremlin says President Trump and President Putin have agreed to a summit, but Putin has not signed off on the idea of letting Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky take part as well. There's a briefing about an hour from now on the base of Fort Stewart, Georgia, following the mass shooting yesterday that left five soldiers wounded and a sergeant under arrest. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. The Richland Center City Council met last night. Items that were discussed included a report from Economic Development Director Jason Glassbrenner that the Development Committee is working with the congressional spending grants on street projects, which include sidewalk replacement near Hive Drive and possible infrastructure street repair on Jefferson Street. Glassbrenner also reported that Panorama Estates, Buildings 2 and 3, had a pre-construction meeting 2 weeks ago, and digging time will begin in September. City Administrator Ashley Oliphant reported that the garbage and recycling services with the former Town and Country Sanitation expires at the end of this year. The city will be soliciting proposals for garbage and recycling services. The council approved additional funding of $4,083.52 for unexpected costs to install a large generator at the municipal building. The council also authorized execution of a $34,559.73 innovation grant awarded by the Southwest Regional Planning Commission to be used for GIS services. Repairs on an overhead crane was approved. The amount should not exceed $4,000, and the money will come from the Roadway and Equipment Repair Fund. The City Council also approved renewing the city's contract with Abt Swain Law Office for legal services. Cost of services will increase from $150 per hour to $175 per hour, with an estimated annual increase cost of $10,000.
The pack prepares for the Jets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from training camp in Green Bay, where the Packers host the New York Jets this Saturday night. Are the players looking forward to playing in their first preseason game? Wide receiver Jaden Reed.
Yeah, it's always excitement, especially going back out in Lambeau, man, like going out to see the fans and, you know, just that environment. It's a different feel. You get chills, and I'm excited, you know, for whatever that may be, you know, going out there. I'm excited for it.
Baseball, the Brewers have the night off before opening a weekend series against the Mets. The Crew beat the Braves 5-4 to complete a three-game sweep in Atlanta. Pat Murphy praised Jose Quintana and the pitching staff after the victory.
Bullpen was special tonight. Q, six-inning start. You look at that lineup. Eli White is as hot as anybody's got four homers in the last five games or something. Albies, Olsen, Ozuna, Murphy, Profar, Harris. Those guys are all have been an all-star or whatever. It's a good lineup.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise partly sunny and 86. Showers and storms possible tonight, a low around 69. Slight chance of a storm Friday, otherwise sunny, warm and humid. Highs in the low 90s, and the heat index will push into the upper 90s. Right now, it's 70.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life.
I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Matinee on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matinee on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by YouTube influencer Wheezy Waiter, a.k.a. Craig Benzine, director of No Packers, No Life. Then Savannah Schindler from the Beloit Cub Open joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Back with you at 8:06. Good morning. It's a Thursday morning, August 7th. Nice to have you along here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Parker Olson producing us down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot here in just a sec, and then we will be rejoined by Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 2 to 4, and Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, who is visiting family in Lithuania. And at 75 cents a minute, I can't keep putting quarters into this payphone for much longer, so Brittany's going to give us the abbreviated version of a forecast that is going to get hot and a little bit stormy in spots, Brittany, yes?
Yes, it is. So we've got the air quality going down, the allergies and grass pollen going up. We've also got the heat and humidity rising. It's going to turn warm and muggy today. We're looking at highs in the mid to upper 80s, feeling like the low 90s in some spots. Mixed skies to start, but then we've got storms starting maybe around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, far southwest, kind of headed towards the Madison area around 8 and then towards Milwaukee around midnight. Few of those could linger early tomorrow morning in the Fox Valley, and then another late morning round of storms expected by Lake Superior before even more start to spark potentially tomorrow evening. Tomorrow, of course, we are looking at highs anywhere from the upper 80s to low 90s. Heat index could reach 100 degrees. We've got an extreme heat watch right now into far northwest parts of the state, and then we've got severe weather on tap potentially for Saturday and into Sunday.
Guys, what do you think? Why do we keep joking about me or Todd running for governor? You think we can get behind Brittany for this? I mean, wouldn't people vote for her over us?
Heck yeah.
All right. Well, good. Let's get the draft.
By the way, Brittany, hot and stormy were Trigby's two old girlfriends at UW River or UW Old Clay.
Moving on now, right. Brittany. Thank you. Have a great day. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Anyway, while there is still an FCC license in place, let me tell you that you can subscribe to our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner there. Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, and joining us live from Lithuania, and Todd Alba here as well. You can catch Trygve and Todd Wednesday afternoons, along with yours truly, when we appear right at the top of the show at 2 o'clock. So, Trygve, again, thank you for being part of an early morning radio show by it being 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Lithuania right now. And let's start with, because, you know, we don't get to hear you on this show very often, and people haven't, frankly, heard about the Lincoln Project for a while. So can you give us the quick elevator pitch on what is the Lincoln Project? What is it doing, like, nowadays?
Right. I mean, we, you know, from the outset, we've really tried to stay on mission. There have been two things that the Lincoln Project is focused on. One is stopping Donald Trump, and the second is pushing back on Trumpism and extremism more generally. And, you know, a lot of what we do What people know us for is the ads where Donald Trump gets really angry at us and threatens to sue us, or I guess now that he's back in the White House, do whatever worse things. But what they don't see, and you guys know this, is we spend an awful lot of time working and doing ads that are driven, as we are now, at small subsets of the electorate, because elections really end up being about small numbers. In a state like Wisconsin, you know, there's probably 40 or 50,000 households that typically decide how elections go. And one of the reasons why I'm excited to be on your show, Pat, and it's kind of like coming home, being a River Falls boy, is, you know, you speak, as does Todd's show, right into the heart of where elections in Wisconsin are decided and thereby elections in the United States. It's in places like Eau Claire County, Richland Center, River Falls. Those are the places where 3 or 4 points matter, and we spend a lot of time targeting ads directly into those voters. Quite frankly, not just during elections, but as news cycles and events are unfolding.
And I think part of that, Todd, as a former Republican staffer in the state capitol and now a former Republican as well, is that there is still in you, in me, in your former boss, former state senator Dale Schultz, there is still that kernel of, crazy as it sounds, service, which is really at the heart of democracy and an honest government, is actually wanting to serve people, not just win elections and power. And you keep doing your show in the afternoons because you still see that in people in Wisconsin, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you've been with us, Pat. I always appreciate it when you take time out of your busy schedule to travel with us, whether it's Northern Wisconsin State Fair or downtown Eau Claire. And Trigby and I have been all over the state, as has Jane, Matt, Eric, Greg Bach. And I think the key is just listen to people, right? I mean, Bob Uecker once told, I think, Elaine Grindle right before he died or at some point in their career, he said, don't be looking at the stat sheet all the time. Don't be looking at the numbers. The game's out there. Call, just watch the popcorn guy messing around with somebody in the stands. Look at the guys messing around with each other, you know, joking around, trying to steal base. That's where the game is at. And I think that the more we just listen to people around the state, we'll figure out what's important to people. And I heard Joe Zepecki, I know he's been on your show, Pat. He was on Jane's show yesterday, and I think he nailed it. He's like, Donald Trump ran lowering prices and a better economy. Neither one of those two things have happened, and we have to, if we want to win, as Trigby says, keep hammering at that and don't pay attention to the periphery.
So Trigby has a newsletter on Substack called Searching for Hope, and you can get it over at trigvyolson.substack.com. Trigby is T-R-Y-G-V-E. And he spells Olson the proper way, O-L-S-O-N, Parker,
hey,
with an E-N. And you can catch Todd's show weekdays from 2 to 4. But I want to get to the gist of your newsletter there, Trigby, Searching for Hope. Because, again, in all the work you've done in other countries with groups that have been promoting democracy, you've had to take those lessons and write about them as they apply here at home. And I can't get you to sum up, you know, 6 months worth of newsletters in one fell swoop here. But what is it that you're trying to convey to either Americans or Americans who are still involved in politics as far as what are the steps that they can do to ensure that we don't see further erosion of democracy?
Yeah, I think the most important one, and Searching for Hope, the title is an ode to my oldest daughter, who unfortunately was stillborn at 38 weeks and is buried not far from here in Lithuania. Her name meant hope in Lithuanian. But it really is deeper than that, in the sense that when you think about, and this is what I learned from working in 40 countries, those fighting autocrats, the game that we're in, not the one that we know of electoral democracy, but the game we're in is one between autocracy and democracy. And that is really about one side wanting to impose fear of each other and the other side trying to impose faith and hope in each other. And democracy, for it to work, you can't just say that everybody on the other side is evil. And quite frankly, I was looking at a Facebook post from a friend of mine in River Falls, somebody who I've known since I was 3 or 4, and she's active in Republican politics. And she got going sort of like Scott Walker, the talking point, Democrats have left Texas, and we know how that is in Wisconsin. The irony in that, and what people have to ask themselves, and I wish she would, is if your side, if the other side were doing it, if Democrats were redistricting in California unilaterally to keep the Congress from becoming Republican, they'd be going bananas, just as Democrats are right now. And democracy never works unless you can put yourself in the other person's perspective. And for individuals, and I really, every day I give people three things that they can do from the lessons that I learned around the world. The most important thing with that, each of us has to take inventory of what agency we have, and say, how can we take that and apply it to this battle that we're in? And for some, it might be whatever their area of expertise is. If they know a lot about technology, figuring out a way to use technology to help in the battle. If they know how to write, maybe it's writing letters to the editor. Maybe it's running for the school board and doing something locally. But everybody has to look at, where do I have agency to be part of the solution, and where can I find hope in what I can bring? Because that's what democracy is really about. It's about all of us coming together and being the sum being greater than the parts.
And really, truly, in your newsletter, you do have these, calls to action, three things you can do today. And they're always outlined so well. One of the, the one from just yesterday, the democracy building toolbox and why we need it here now. And those tools include training, institutional strengthening, material assistance, coalition building, public opinion research, technology, and information operations. And then the series that you wrote right before this was about AI and how AI can go both ways in terms of helping or hurting democracy. Can you give me the very short summary of how you think AI should best be approached from the standpoint of strengthening democracy?
Yeah, I can give you around the edges, and I don't know whether I'm supposed to do this or not, but I will. We're going to, through Lincoln Democracy Institute, and quite frankly, I've been working on it. We're going to have some exciting stuff coming out, trying to use AI to empower people to be better positioned to interact in and around democracy, and to take control of their agency within their own families and sets of friends. The reality is, having done a lot of work with AI, and I never imagined I sort of fell into it, I understand the notion, and people have a right to be leery of it, because back when I was working on democracy building, the internet was, daily here. In Lithuania, the internet was just coming to fore, Twitter, YouTube, all of that. And everybody was talking about how that's going to empower democracy. And it hasn't. In fact, it's been highly detrimental to democracy. And the reason for that is, quite frankly, you have a lot of oligarchs who have decided that they were going to use technology. Their business model is based on, I'm going to take people's information and use it to sell them stuff.
Yeah. Well, right? I mean, look at what we've seen with Elon Musk just hoovering things up here. I'll give the last word to you. It's all about searching for hope is the name of the newsletter. But I got to tell you, when it comes to AI, I have a tough time seeing the hope in the future. How about you? How are you feeling?
Here's what I would say.
Well, okay, real quick.
AI and technology is agnostic. It's neither good or evil. Mm-hmm. But people are. And ultimately, AI or the internet or social media really can be used to empower people,
Let me jump in there before I hit the break. You want to add anything final to his thoughts or?
This is why I love travel around Trigvi, because we goof around a lot, but he's seen a heck of a lot. He knows a lot. He's really connected. So look at the Substack, because you'll find hope. And at the end of the day, if we lose that, then everything's gone. So I appreciate what Trigvi's doing, and appreciate what you're doing, Pat.
Well, and that's why I wanted to make sure that people know, catch these two on Wednesdays when Trigvi shows up on Todd Alba's show weekday afternoons. Trigvi, safe travels. Thanks for joining us. Get out to the beach there. Enjoy that sunny day that you finally are getting and that you finally deserve. And Todd, we'll talk to you this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, Pat. I'll even get up to do your show sometime, but not too often.
No, but not too often. Yeah, let's not get crazy here.
He's exactly. Not a boring guy.
No. Sean O'Malley's coming up next to talk about your money and the markets, followed by Joe Zepecki. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
I didn't know what the hell Malort was. So here now, our own Carol, head of traffic. She's brought in Malort. Down the hatch. Cheers to Malort. Now, it went down fairly smooth, but the back end is ridiculously terrible. Judas Priest. That's terrible. Once is enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like my time with women.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Baseball on the radio is a tradition we're very happy to continue. Catch the Brewers all season long on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
The Richland Center City Council met last night. Items that were discussed included a report from Economic Development Director Jason Glassbrenner that the Development Committee is working with the congressional spending grants on street projects, which include sidewalk replacement near Hive Drive and possible infrastructure street repair on Jefferson Street. Glassbrenner also reported that Panorama Estates, Buildings 2 and 3, had a pre-construction meeting 2 weeks ago, and digging time will begin in September. City Administrator Ashley Oliphant reported that the garbage and recycling services with the former Town and Country Sanitation expires at the end of this year. The city will be soliciting proposals for garbage and recycling services. The council approved additional funding of $4,083.52 for unexpected costs to install a large generator at the municipal building. The council also authorized execution of a $34,559.73 innovation grant awarded by the Southwest Regional Planning Commission to be used for GIS services. Repairs on an overhead crane was approved. The amount should not exceed $4,000, and the money will come from the Roadway and Equipment Repair Fund. The City Council also approved renewing the city's contract with Abt Swain Law Office for legal services. Cost of services will increase from $150 per hour to $175 per hour, with an estimated annual increase cost of $10,000. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports an incident took place at the Vernon County Courthouse in the city of Viroqua on Tuesday morning. At approximately 9:45, the Vernon County Clerk's of Court office received a call indicating there was an unresponsive adult male inside an automobile in the parking lot at the county courthouse. Court staff immediately summoned the court security officer, a full-time deputy sheriff, who responded directly to the patient and notified the sheriff's office 911 dispatch center requesting additional resources. With the busy court schedule, a second court security officer, a part-time deputy sheriff, was available and retrieved medical equipment and supplies from the patrol vehicle. The first sheriff's deputy quickly recognized that the patient was displaying signs of an opioid overdose and took immediate action according to his training. The Viroqua Police Department, Viroqua Fire Department, Viroqua Emergency Medical Responders, and Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance all arrived on scene to further care. The patient was transported to Vernon Health, treated, and released. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is issuing a public health alert for cured and smoked teriyaki beef produced by Holman Locker and Meat Market in Holman. The alert is due to the product being misbranded and containing undeclared allergens. The aforementioned product contained soy and wheat, known food allergens, which were not declared on the product's label. The product was sold at Holman Locker and Meat Market on or before August 1, 2025. DATCAP is issuing this public health alert to ensure consumers with an allergy to soy and or wheat are aware that this product should not be consumed. No illnesses have been reported as a result of consuming this product. Anyone with signs or symptoms of foodborne illness or allergic reactions should contact their doctor. Consumers who have this product can discard it. Consumers and media with questions about this public health alert can contact Lori Stettler, Holman Locker and Meat Market at 608-526-3112. Milwaukee will host another convention of Republicans. This time it's the Young Republican National Convention in August of 2027. The gathering, put together by the Young Republican National Federation, is expected to draw 1,200 attendees and generate about $1 million in economic activity for the region. Last summer, Milwaukee hosted the 2024 Republican National Convention, which brought in over $300 million of business impact. Wisconsin has been a key state in deciding the most recent presidential elections. The Culpeper and Merriweather Circus, sponsored by Southwest Partners Incorporated, returns to Richland Center's North Park Sunday and Monday. The C&M Circus has been providing quality local family entertainment for 40 years. There will be brand new 2025 performances featuring Big Cats presented by Trey Key, Aerialist Extraordinaire Simone on the trapeze, the Perez Daredevil Duo on the tightrope and Wheel of Destiny, the high-energy Macias Family hand and foot juggling, and everyone's favorite circus clown, Leo Acton. On Sunday morning, starting at 9:30, there will be the tent raising and tour. Everyone is invited to watch the big top rise. You will also get a chance to tour the grounds and get a behind-the-scenes look at the show. Learn about life on the road and the care the animals receive. There will be two performances each day. 1 hour before each performance, the midway opens featuring pony rides, moon bounce, giant slide, face painting, concession stand, and the box office opens up for some extra fun. The performances, held Sunday at 2:30 and 4:30 and Monday at 5 and 7:30, are 90-minute amazing shows the whole family will love. Advance ticket prices are $13 for adults and $8 for children 2 to 12 or seniors 65 and older. They can be purchased at Napa Auto Parts, Richland Center Parks and Rec, Kelly's Coffee Shop, and Capital Wealth Ameriprise. A higher percentage of the advance tickets go back to the sponsor, meaning more money back into your community. You will also save money and can skip lines at the box office. Ticket prices at the box office are $16 for adults and $9 for children 2 to 12 or seniors 65 and older. Come one, come all to the Culpeper and Merriweather Circus Sunday at 2:30 and 4:30 and Monday at 5 and 7:30 at North Park in Richland Center.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports an incident took place at the Vernon County Courthouse in the city of Viroqua on Tuesday morning. At approximately 9:45, the Vernon County Clerks of Court Office received a call indicating there was an unresponsive adult male inside an automobile in the parking lot at the county courthouse. Court staff immediately summoned the court security officer, a full-time deputy sheriff, who responded directly to the patient and notified the sheriff's office 911 dispatch center requesting additional resources. With the busy court schedule, a second court security officer, a part-time deputy sheriff, was available and retrieved medical equipment and supplies from the patrol vehicle. The first sheriff's deputy quickly recognized that the patient was displaying signs of an opioid overdose and took immediate action according to his training. The patient was transported to Vernon Health, treated, and released. A Wisconsin appeals court has ruled that private text messages and messages sent through private apps by public officials in the state can be released if they involve public business. The ruling stems from a lawsuit that accused former Natural Resources Board Chair Frederick Prenn of unlawfully withholding public records, including private text messages between him and then-Governor Scott Walker. The appeals court also ruled that the public officials can be held accountable for legal fees in cases where the court finds that the records should be released.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There are no huge superhero or action films being released this weekend, so we can all take a deep breath. Having said that, there are a couple highly rated films geared toward family fun and horror. First up is Weapons, a film about classmates who disappear at the same time except one. The film is pulling a highly coveted 100% on Rotten Tomatoes with over 50 reviews in and stars Josh Brolin and Ozark's Julia Garner. And if you're thinking this Friday could get a little freaky, you'd be correct. Family comedy Freakier Friday hits theaters, bringing with it close to an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. Freakier Friday stars Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan, who reprise their roles as Tess and Anna from the original film, which was 22 years ago. That's a long time, so that script better be great. If neither of those titles grab you, there are still several blockbusters in the theater, including The Naked Gun, The Bad Guys 2, F1, and Superman. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise partly sunny and 86. Showers and storms possible tonight, a low around 69. Slight chance of a storm Friday, otherwise sunny, warm, and humid. Highs in the low 90s, and the heat index will push into the upper 90s.
Right now, 71 degrees. Matt and Air on Air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is
stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse and bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yes.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Laura McCoy, she is a member of the Green Bay School Board.
In the 1990s, revenue caps were put into place, and Green Bay was a conservative, low-spending district. Mm-hmm. We've been struggling with that basically ever since. The people in our community have stepped up again and again to pass referendums. That's wonderful, but we need that per-pupil increase. We need the cash to keep the lights on, basically, and to pay our staff what they deserve.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. As summer winds down, we're still enjoying the outdoors. We'll be joined by Casey Hicks of the Wisconsin Conservation Voters next time to talk about how we preserve Wisconsin's outdoor heritage. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Joe Zepecki is waiting in the wings where we will talk Wisconsin politics and a sigh of relief that gubernatorial candidate Bill Berrien no longer is sounding like he'd want to tax goods from other states coming across state lines. I think he has properly had an explanation of tariffs, and we'll talk about that and some other weirdness in the news coming up with Joe in just a sec. First, the opening bell has sounded on Wall Street and across the markets. And people are investors are kind of baking in what President Trump is already doing with his trade war. But I've got a thought on that right after Sean tells us what exactly is happening with China here. This whole thing was not this whole thing, but so much of what Trump is doing is aimed at China. Is it hurting China to this point?
Well, it has been having an impact on China. But remember, the whole reason behind the tariffs, according to Trump's explanation, is to make sure that, you know, we weren't just giving away money to other countries. Now, this is a wrong narrative, but that was the explanation, right? That we were running a trade deficit and we needed to stop that. We needed to bring everything back home so that we stopped running a trade deficit. But here's the news. While, yes, the tariffs have had an impact on China exporting, all that's happened is that you've replaced China with other largely Asia-Pacific countries' exports, namely Taiwan and Vietnam. So the trade deficit, the gap between exports and imports, has largely remained pretty constant, even though it's gone down a little bit in both cases. And now those countries that are providing us or exporting goods to us, the names have changed a little bit. So China's given up their market share and given it to Taiwan and Vietnam predominantly.
Yeah, and they're still shipping goods, even more goods, to the European Union as well. Meanwhile, American consumers are paying these tariffs. The last note that I wanted to hit was part of the reason markets seemed optimistic was because Apple made this announcement that it was going to make a large investment in domestic manufacturing, which, again, has been what Trump has been saying is the whole role is to get, you know, to bring back more manufacturing to America, to which I've got 2 points. One, get ready for the $2,000 iPhone, if that were to happen. But secondly, I don't think it's even going to come to that because, Sean, I've been to this rodeo before. When I hear, and it's not just Apple, but when I hear, oh, yeah, we're going to bring all this manufacturing to the U.S. that's normally done overseas, one word comes to mind, Foxconn. You know, you can say you're going to bring this stuff in to get better treatment today, but I actually want to see the assembly line cranking like Foxconn never did before my skepticism goes away.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a perfect example right here, local in Wisconsin. How many billions of dollars were supposed to be spent on that project that never materialized?
No.
You know, it's everything's talk until something happens. So even, you know, Apple's announcement, well, positive certainly for the job situation in the U.S., which could certainly use the help, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen. number one. Number two, we don't know where it's going to happen and how it's going to impact the overall economic picture. And three, it's, you know, while positive, it's really kind of just a small piece of a very large puzzle. And a lot of that puzzle is still, you know, in terms of manufacturing and other types of activities are still going overseas.
Sean O'Malley reporting this time from beautiful Bayfield. Get on the boat at some point real soon, and we'll talk to you next week.
Will do, Pat. Take care. Right.
Thank you, Sean. You can get our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. You can get our Sunday morning newsletter as well about Wisconsin politics, where I ask, what do you think blue states should do about red state gerrymandering? What's happening in Texas right now? Should states like California retaliate and monkey around with their congressional maps as well? Because, you know, democracy, or not sink to their level because things only accelerate and get worse from there. So sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com and be part of our Sunday morning question of the week. Here's Joe Zepecki now to talk Wisconsin politics, and we'll pick up Joe on tariffs and trade because according to an interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, gubernatorial candidate Bill Marion, I think now understands that tariffs are not something you do from state to state. Although I thought it was funny that he was questioning where that even came from. Dude, we played the tape. The WMTV reporter asked you about state-based tariffs, and you indicated in your answer that that could be a good thing for Wisconsin. I feel like it's a campaign staffer's nightmare when you have to pull the guy aside and go, boss, here's how that really should have gone.
Bill Berrien's whole campaign is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who believes he is so much smarter than everybody else, that he can just erase his entire political history and cozy up to Donald Trump and all will be well. And I'm referring to this ridiculous interview he did with Dan Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel at the Wisconsin State Fair. So to provide a little context, like Berrien is a guy who used to be what I would call like a reasonable conservative. He wanted to move on from Trump. He supported Nikki Haley to the tune of more than $30,000 between he and his wife, and was calling for generational change within the Republican Party. And now that Daddy Trump is still in charge of the Republican Party, Berrien is making an absolute fool of himself, groveling to try and become like Trump and probably try to win his endorsement because that's the ticket to the Republican nomination. And so when Bice asks him what he thinks about his past support for Nikki Haley, it's one bad answer, it's two bad answers. And then he literally says to Bice, as Dan writes it up in the Journal Sentinel today, why don't you just put down that I regret those contributions? And what Mr. Berrien doesn't appear to understand is, like, as much as people dislike politicians, they dislike phonies even more than that. And so I, like, yes, the campaign staffer side of my brain did have a modicum of like horror for whoever is advising Berrien and working with him. But this is not a serious individual. That's not a serious way to talk about candidates you have supported in the past. And he can't remake who he is. People are going to smell that phoniness from a mile away.
You know, last week I asked you about Democratic candidates for governor and why we hadn't seen a big crush of them right away. You had this great answer about, you know, after the first one, there really isn't any value. You can announce on your own timeline. But let me tweak the question for the Republican candidates and why we haven't seen more Republicans get in. Is part of that reason because Republicans who might consider running for governor are so put off by the notion that the only way they're going to win is to be the one who sucks up the most to Donald Trump?
Well, I think some of these Republican potential candidates, like Tom Tiffany, as much as I might disagree with Mr. Tiffany on basically every policy issue, he's not a dumb man, right? And so there's two factors. You have to go full Trump to win a Republican primary right now. And every indicator is that Trump is going to be a boat anchor around the political necks of every Republican next year. Trump's approval rating has dropped into the 30s. The jobs numbers are bad. The economy appears to be stalling out because of all the chaos and disruption that this president is enacting. And so if you are someone like Tom Tiffany, who's got a pretty good job being a member of Congress, why would you give up that $178,000 a year salary to suck up to Trump and then have to deal with the political peril that Trump causes for you and probably lose next year, and then you're out of a job entirely? So Republicans are in a tough spot, and it means they're not going to get very good candidates. And I think it segues into this insanity with Van Orden.
Well, allow us to go there then, because again, we've got nothing but weirdness going here, and it is, in this case, in Derek Van Orden, the Journal Sentinel headline: Derek Van Orden escalates Mark Pocan feud by posting photo of a naked man in a ski mask with a sex toy. Not The Onion, boys and girls. Actual headline: Derek Van Orden thinks it's funny to put up a picture of a naked man wearing a ski mask and carrying a toy tied to a walking stick.
I'm not sure he thought it was funny. I think it is possible Mark Pocan is so in Van Orden's kitchen that everywhere he looks, every time he turns a corner, Congressman Van Orden sees Mark Pocan. And my rationale for that is, like, he didn't just tweet it out and let it go. He kept going back to it. Like, I think it's possible Van Orden actually thinks that's Mark Pocan. And what Van Orden's explanation would be for why he's looking at pictures of naked men on Twitter aside, like, Pocan is clearly living rent-free in Derek Van Orden's head. And if you're Van Orden, you know you took a terrible bill that is hitting your constituents, right? On their health care, on their cost of living. You know that if you're Derek Van Orden, you have refused to do the right thing to stand up for Western Wisconsin businesses and manufacturers by saying no when it comes to this tariff nonsense. And rather than, I guess, wallow in the political unpopularity of all of these votes that he's taking, he thinks his job as a congressman is to just try to change the subject, even when it comes down to letting all of his constituents and the entire world know that he's scouring X for pictures of naked men. Okay, that's a choice.
It is a choice. Here's another, because our common theme here isn't just the weirdness, but the distractions that they're intended to also evoke, whether it is, you know, another sternly worded letter to Canada about their wildfires, or this group of Republican legislators sending a letter to the mayor of Milwaukee saying, hey, do something about the crime in your city, to which the mayor says, here's the crime's down in Milwaukee. But, you know, like I said before, the Swiss could only wish that their timepieces had as much precision and had as much predictability as Republican legislators playing the Milwaukee card as we approach an election year.
Yeah, well, they think that's better politically than having to try to explain why they're all for cutting $1 trillion from Medicaid. It's easier to talk about headlines in Milwaukee than it is to explain why you just added $4 trillion to the national debt. It's easier to talk about, you know, the issue du jour of the day or the trending Twitter topic than it is trying to explain why it's okay for Donald Trump to just willy-nilly fire a statistician who is telling us the truth about the American economy. All of that, like, they've lost their mind is the only really way I can say it. It's like, they think that's good politics to just, like, try and change the subject because they know they can't defend the actions they are taking in Congress or in Madison. And so it's just our uniquely stupid American age.
It's been that kind of a week, really. We're talking with Joe Zepecki. Some of you have a local news break coming up. And if that's the case, let me tell you that tomorrow we're going to have Free Ticket Friday for Brewers tickets. We'll have Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Jennifer Schulze, and Mark Jacob will be along. So will Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Mike Clemens with sports. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery. So he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife, but she says I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It's time for a Thursday morning look at sports here in Southwest Wisconsin. The Hometown of Baseball Night League playoffs get underway this evening. Cazenovia has a first-round trip to Verona, Jefferson at Cross Plains. It's also Pine Bluff Mount Horeb at Reedsburg, Belleville at Columbus, and Sun Prairie at Evansville. Plus, Ashton is at Arena. I talked to Arena manager Nick Larson about this Night League home playoff game.
Phil, I don't really know a lot about Ashton since I've been involved with coaching. Haven't got to a chance to match up with them, but historically I know they're really good. I think what we're most excited about is a new team. You know, their fan base is really good. Ours is really good. And I think it's just going to be a great night at the park and arena with with the fans and a playoff game in arena.
How do you look at pitching, and how will you approach that tonight, Nick?
I think tonight we're just going to stick with our Thursday night, our normal Thursday night rotation, so to speak. Start with Zach Cady and Daniel Yonke, and we also have Ethan Wickman available tonight. He's back from his trip with Whitewater, and you know, if it's a close game where we got a chance to put it away, we'll for sure use Eli or Nate if we get in a tight spot. But obviously, we're saving them for our upcoming game on Sunday.
That is arena manager Nick Larson. His team is at home this evening against Ashton and will be on the road this coming Sunday in the playoffs as they travel to Verona for a Western Section final game. It's first time in arena's long franchise history. They were first franchised back in 1929, and it's the first time they've been in a section final game. Fort Atkinson will play at Evansville on Sunday in the Southeast, Eastern Section Final, Sun Prairie at Monona, and in the Northern Section Final, Ashton plays at Middleton. It's the 30th Hornet Volleyball Camp coming up for area players from area schools. It's for all volleyball players entering grades 2 through 12, and it happens next Monday through Thursday at the Richland Center High School gym. Grades 2 and 3 will focus on the basics of volleyball between 8:15 and 9:15. Grades 4 through 6 from 9:30 until 10:45 will focus on the basics of volleyball, and grades 7 through 8 from 11 until 1 will concentrate on progress and knowledge to have a more advanced level. And the grades 9 through 12 camp will meet between 2 and 4:30, and they'll be divided between ability level and will prepare athletes for high school tryouts. Basic skill reviews and team play will be focused on as well. You can register by sending checks payable to Hornet Basketball. That's right, for the volleyball camp, 1075 North Park Street, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. And with questions, email Coach Johnson at johj@richland.k12.wi.us or by phone at 608-604-7751. The 30th Hornet Volleyball Camp is sponsored by Richland Center Parks and Recreation. The Brewers ran their winning streak to 6 in a row with a 5-4 decision at Atlanta Wednesday. 21 wins in 25 games have helped Milwaukee build a 4-game lead over the Cubs. Andrew Vaughn and Blake Perkins belted home runs, and veteran left-hander Jose Quintana earned his 9th pitching victory. Trevor Megill survived a Michael Harris home run to put up save number 26. Manager Pat Murphy assessed the pitching situation.
Bullpen was special tonight. Q, 6-inning start anytime against a team that knows him. You look at that lineup, you know, Eli White is as hot as anybody. He's got 4 homers in the last 5 games or something. Albies, Olsen, Ozuna, Murphy, Profar, Harris, those guys are all have been an all-star or whatever. So that's a good lineup.
And Murphy says it's hard to figure out how hot Andrew Vaughn really is.
It's unbelievable. It's a big split righty guy that's supposed to be nasty on righties, and just shows you where he's at. 3 times on base, one time he just circled the bases. He's been special both offensively, defensively. Vaughn, Collins, and Perkins tonight are the 3 that you got to look at, and Sal. Those are great performances by those 4.
And he says sweeping the Braves certainly was special.
They're not playing for anything right now other than they're just good players. And I respect their team a great deal, their coaching staff. I respect the Braves organization, and to come in here is very unusual.
The Brewers at 70-44 are 26 games above 500 for the first time since finishing the 2021 season at 95-67. They set a franchise record for fewest games played, 114, to reach 70 wins. The previous mark was 116, set in 2021. Elsewhere, the Brewers are off today with a home game against the Mets coming up set for Friday. Shohei Ohtani hit a go-ahead 2-run home run for his 1,000th career hit. He also struck out a season-high 8 over 4 innings pitched in his longest mound outing this season for the Dodgers. It wasn't enough as LA went on to lose the game by a final of 5-3. It was also a win last night for San Francisco over Pittsburgh, 4-2. And the Cubs picked up a win against Cincinnati, 6-1. San Diego, 3-2 over Arizona. In the American League, Minnesota 9, Detroit 4, the Yankees 3-2 over Texas, Tampa Bay 5, the Angels 4, Kansas City 7-3 over Boston, Seattle 8, and the White Sox 6. Interleague play, Baltimore 5-1 over Philadelphia, Cleveland 4, the Mets 1, Toronto 20-1 over Colorado, Miami 6, Houston 4, Washington 2-1 over the Athletics. The biggest strength for the Wisconsin Badgers football team is expected to be its defensive secondary. Pro Football Focus points to returning starters Preston Zachman and Ricardo Holman for high grades. Not all the news for the EW defense is good. Analysts say the biggest weakness for Coach Luke Fickell's team is its defensive front seven. Reporters say the team's pass rushers have looked strong in recent fall camp practices, so the Badgers' D could be better than expected. That is sports during Pat Kreitlow Mornings on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. Thanks for joining us. We have a special night coming up in the community tomorrow night. It's the annual Walk with Grace, and the Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination would like to see a lot of folks out there for the carnival and celebration. There will be an opening ceremony at 6, and all of the activities will conclude around 9 o'clock when they provide the winner, the winning name of that beautiful automobile. They are raffling and auctioning off many items in the community center tomorrow night during Grace. Phil and the Open, you have a great day in Southwest Wisconsin.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump tariffs kicked in overnight. More than 90 countries are now facing tariffs ranging from 15 to 40%. The Kremlin says President Putin has agreed to a summit with President Trump to discuss the war in Ukraine. Weekly jobless numbers are out.
The latest look at weekly claims for unemployment benefits finds 226,000 filings in the week leading up to August 2nd. That's an increase of 7,000 from the week before. In all, 1.9 million Americans are receiving benefits, 38,000 more than the last week of July.
ABC's Jim Ryan, last week's numbers showed a major slowdown in employment. President Trump didn't agree with that, so he had the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics fired. Investigators piecing together how an active duty service member allegedly opened fire on his fellow soldiers, wounding five of them. It happened at Fort Stewart, Georgia. A computer glitch at United Airlines stranding thousands of people yesterday. There was a ground stop that was lifted, but there are residual problems today.